The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all once again. This is another TWBC podcast special previewing the Swiss Pro Tricks, which will take place on Sunday the 20th, that is Easter Sunday. Glad to have you on board once again. And also glad to have as my guest here on this edition of the TWBC podcast, a perennial challenger for supremacy in the world of women's trick skiing, a former world champion, but looking to try and put that to rights coming up in the latter portion of this season. It is Neely Ross from Canada. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually giddy at the prospect of not only just one pro tricking tournament, one or two during the course of the season, but a whole slew of them. You must be giddy at that prospect yourself.
I'm pumped. I'm so excited to start off this season here at the Swiss Pro Tricks because it's a trick-only event. Us trickers really appreciate that. And I'm especially excited for this summer. We're going to have a ton of great trick events, in France, Morocco, Portugal. I'm pumped.
What country do you really want to visit out of all of that lot? Because have you ever been to Morocco before?
I haven't. I wanted to go to the competition in Morocco last year. It's tough because as a two-eventer and, tricks being my main event, I've got to prioritize that. So I'm so excited that this year in Morocco, we're going to also have tricks.
Yeah, I think I got the message with that one, didn't you think?
I wanted to go so bad last year. Just didn't work out. I've got a trick.
And what about Portugal?
Portugal, I'll be there. I'm so excited for it. I've never been there before.
I've never been to Portugal before either. I've been to Morocco once, and that was last season for the slalom for the Marrakesh Pro. But I've just seen you practice, come off the water just a few minutes ago. How did that go?
It was pretty good. It's funny. I was joking with Vince after I practiced. I've been, I was tricking really well the past few weeks, and for some reason, the last week things have been a tiny bit off. But I've been slaloming really well, so I went up to Vince and Clint and I said, you can't just switch your tournaments around for me, do Swiss Pro Slalom tomorrow, Swiss Pro Tricks in 2 weeks. But no, the lake feels great. It's funny, here it's such an incredible slalom lake, but it's actually such an incredible trick lake too. The wakes are so poppy, it feels awesome.
What makes that? I mean, for those that are relatively new to the sport, is it the depth of the lake? Is it the weight? Is it the lake profile, or where it kind of slopes off on each side? I mean, what makes a lake such as this a great trick lake, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, the lakes out here at Swiss are practically perfect. They are perfect. Everybody knows that. But for tricks, I think depth just has a huge depth is a huge factor in it.
Because it's least likely to lift the back of the hull up and not,
The wakes here, they're nice and poppy, and, the water's super crisp and clean. Yeah.
Indeed. And does it differ much from where you typically ski? Are your home site? I mean, do you see a discernible difference or feel a discernible difference?
I mean, I feel like here and my lake are about as similar as you could get. Here, maybe the wakes felt a tiny bit narrower, if anything. Maybe a tiny bit smaller, a tiny bit narrower than my lake. My lake is, we're known for just having huge wakes. But no, it feels incredible out there.
Okay, so you've been part of like the big three, so to speak, between yourself, Anna Hunter, and Erica Lang, trying to battle each other for supremacy in the world of tricks. I mean, I would seriously have to look back at the stats or what have you and think as to find out whether any of you have been missing on the podium in the last two to three or four world championships, going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, that takes a bit of thought, but Let's think about the season to come. You've got all of these trick tournaments. You're probably going to have a little bit of a break before the World Championships, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
Yep. I'll be in Canada. We're going to go to Muskoka. We'll do like the Europe leg, and then I'll go up to Canada in Muskoka. We'll train there for 5 weeks and then
now
head to Italy.
Now, that's a really deep lake, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a deep lake there. Great conditions. It's a little bit rolly, so, you know, it's not the same conditions as our perfect Florida lakes.
And the water a little bit chillier than
Florida. A little bit chillier.
So how does that react with the ski?
Yeah, I mean, wakes are a little bit smaller, a little bit colder, but it's a great place to train because it's not necessarily the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like leading up into Worlds in Italy, it's the best place for me to be training.
Okay, so we're training up for the World Championships. Now, I mean, a number of you, there are a number of trickers now that have gone over 10,000 points, and you mm-hmm. get to do that on a regular basis mm-hmm. at the Masters and what have you, you know. So I mean, what's kind of like the key to breaking into something like 10,000 or 11,000, you know, for like the aspiring trick stars that I'm sure that will be coming up within the next years, just trying to unseat you from your perch. it's going to happen at some stage, you know, but what's going to be the key element that will take them from where they are to where they need to be to stand just next to you, you know?
I mean, for girls, I feel like we've got such a great advantage with toe tricks and toe turns. So I would say, girls, focus on your toe turns, especially when you're young. The flips will always come. I don't know. And for me, I feel like I excelled so much at tricks because I also had slalom. I also had another outlet to focus on, especially when I was frustrated with tricks or I don't know. I just think having two is really great. And of course, there are people in our sport that are three eventers, but I always loved having both to work on. But yeah, I'd say for young girls coming up, focus on your toe turns and your basics. Don't go straight for the flips. Focus on your fives. Focus on all of those basics that you need to eventually
break
10.
Because that's a thing, right? Whether it's female tricker or male tricker, you know, they're trying to take the shortcut to success by throwing in like a moat back to back, and it's reverse, you know, and flip twist bit back, you know, which are very, very similar in terms of its takeoff and execution, you know. And then they struggle as soon as they drop the speed down, and they can only throw in back to backs and Wacos instead of ski lines, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, the perfect example of where you'll see that is at collegiate nationals. You'll see people struggling to do a back. They'll do a few slides, maybe a wake back, and huck a flip.
Yeah.
So for young people coming up, focus on those basics because you need that.
Speaking of collegiate nationals, I'm glad you brought that up. You skied for Rollins College.
I did.
And do you ski it? Still train at that lake? Are you graduating in May, or have you already graduated?
I've already graduated. Yeah, I graduated a year ago. I love Rollins. Now my brother, Charlie, he's a freshman at Rollins. Mark Bedsel is still the coach over there.
He's never going to leave, is he?
I hope not. I love Mark.
I trained
a great place.
I trained with him a little bit way back in the day, where he used to train with Corey Picos over in Eagle Lake, which is a little ways down here, very, very close to Winter Haven. You know where Eagle Lake is. Yeah, I don't need to tell you. But he's a mainstay of the Rollins team, you know, and he always has a smile for me and everyone else that he comes into contact with.
I owe a lot of my success to Mark.
Indeed. So, it'll be remiss of me not to mention some of the things that come up a little bit on social media. You know, I mean, you've posted tons of videos on Instagram there to increase your exposure. You know, so. Kind of tell us a little bit about how important that is to you, and kind of how it affects you athletically going forward.
Yeah, I mean, social media has definitely changed my perspective about this sport a lot, especially in the past year or so. I don't know. I feel like there are so many people that have said, and you know, in the past decade, that the sport is dying, or there's no money in the sport, or this and that. But I feel like it's completely what you make of it. And social media has definitely taught me that. I know that I wouldn't have my social media following if my social media following is trying to showcase skiing and our sport and, you know, the beauty of it and just how cool it is. And I think people really appreciate that. So I think it's really cool to see, because I think our sport is doing the opposite of dying. And I think that skiers can most definitely make a great living with it, especially with the help of social media. And I hope that that goes to show. And I think at the end of the day, every single skier wants to get our sport in front of more eyes.
Indeed.
TWBC knows that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So, and we can all do it in our own ways.
Indeed, indeed. And I'm sure that that the organizers of those tournaments, these newly founded trick tournaments, yep, in Portugal and in Morocco and wherever else, they're all looking forward to seeing one or two people, but they're looking forward to seeing you to try and put like a physical name and face to what they see on their smartphones and on their tablets, you know. And you know, you're creating a fan base, you know, that's almost along the same lines like Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel.
I don't know about that, Tony.
maybe not that extreme, but you know, but
no.
But I mean, on my phone, I look each and every day, you know, to see what reels are coming up, and almost, you know, every four, five, or six reels, I see you going out there on the slalom course and performing your tricks and what have you, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be said for that, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's so cool. I think it's so cool, especially that a lot of the younger girls that are in the sport are also starting to get somewhere with social media, and they're starting to do ads and campaigns with different brands. Like, this is such a great way to get our sport in front of more eyes, and I think especially the girls right now are kind of leading the charge with it, and I think it's awesome.
I know you're still giggling at the Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. Let's just go with Caitlin Clark, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, if you surpass her in terms of views and clicks and what have you, I think it'll be a great day for the sport.
That would be awesome.
Indeed, indeed. So, Swiss Pro Tricks 2025. Mm-hmm. I think you've competed in every Swiss Pro Tricks ever, mm-hmm, since its inception.
Yeah.
So what's going to be your strategy going forward? You know, you've got two rounds to kind of like set a pace a little bit. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go a little softer in the first round and then maybe leave it to the second to bump it up?
Not necessarily softer in the first round, but I definitely want first round to, you know, get a base score, you know, secure the spot in the finals. Second round, maybe I'll go for it a little bit more. I'll see how the first round ends up, try up some different runs. I feel like my, not issue, but my dilemma right now is I have probably 6 or 7 different run possibilities.
Yeah.
I've got lots of different ones, and it all just depends on where I'm at, how I'm feeling, speed and risk level that I want to take, so...
So I mean, what opt-ins or opt-outs can you do? I mean, obviously, there's room for that in the toe pass. Like, mm-hmm, some people would prefer to do a toe wake back to back, but if they're not feeling 100%, it'll be a toe wake front, and then they continue on. But I'm sure you've got other dare I say tricks up your sleeve.
Yes, mine will be if I'm gonna end up adding toe line 5 at the end of my run or not. My toe line 5's been consistent. It's solid. The only problem is it's my last trick.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough to put a 600 point trick as your very last trick. You know, do you take the risk and put it at the end, or, you know, risk it being out of time? So that's kind of my dilemma. A little bit of the same thing in hands. I've got a ton of different run combinations I can go with, and it's all about if I want to end up putting a flip, a 750 point flip, as my last trick.
Uh-huh.
And risk that being out of time as well. So risk reward.
Yes, indeed. It's, you always have to kind of measure that up. So
yeah.
We'll try and put a bow on this podcast interview with sincere apologies to Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But I tell you what, if Caitlin Clark, if you're listening to this, She's coming for you.
Oh, my God.
Yes, indeed.
You're
okay.
Funny, Tony.
Indeed. Speak your piece to the good folks.
Well, yeah, I'm excited for this season, and I'm excited for the future of skiing. I think everybody is. So, and I'm especially excited for this trick tournament tomorrow.
All right there. So Neely Ross there, thank you very much indeed for your participation and your time. And this concludes this episode of the TWBC podcast. And with thanks, I'm going to say ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.